I kind of feel like even if I don't get in this year, just keep kind of working towards this every year and until I do get in. And then once I get in, I mean, just keep trying. It's obviously the appeal as well is that no woman's ever finished.
Diz Runs Radio, episode 501 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, today's episode of the show is brought to you by the good folks over at Health IQ, which is a service that helps to hook you up as a healthy person, as a runner, as somebody who's health conscious and trying to take care of yourself, hooks you up with a little bit of savings, a little bit of discount on life insurance policies. So I know you know the idea of getting life insurance means that that there's something has to happen before you can collect life insurance, which isn't always a fun thing to think about. But it's one of those things that's kind of a necessary thing. It helps to make sure that those that you're leaving behind are taken care of, are helped to be provided for. So if you're as the end of the year is approaching, it might be time to kind of take a look at what kind of coverage you have and what kind of coverage maybe you need. And if you're in the market for some more life insurance, definitely would encourage you to check out Health IQ. So head over to healthiq.com/dizruns and get a quote. And who knows, you might be able to get a pretty darn good bit of coverage for a better price simply because you're a runner. It's really is literally that simple. So healthiq.com/dizruns. And now let's go ahead and get on with today's episode of the show. Hey guys, today we are catching up with a woman who was first on the show back in November of 2015. And quite honestly, this round two is much overdue. Since we first talked, she's run Western States a couple of times, finished on the top of the podium in a bunch of other races, and has just kind of continued to do a bunch of epic things in and around our sport. She's supported by Cthulhu, Trail Toes, Fuel 100, Electrobites, Drymax, Ufos, Nathan, Ultra, and also Rugged Running as a coaching kind of ambassador and whatnot. We'll probably talk about a lot of those things as we go, but without any further ado, it's definitely a pleasure to welcome Maggie Goodroll back to the show. Thanks for coming back and joining us again, Maggie. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Denny.
Yeah, the pleasure is definitely mine. And I like I said there just a minute ago, I apologize that this is longer overdue than it probably should have been. But, life is what it is. And glad to be able to reconnect. And guys, if you don't know much about Maggie, you're definitely missing out on some cool stuff. And you can check out her website with a bunch of really good, really detailed race recaps and just a bunch of other random odds and ends. Megatron.com is the website there. And if you want to connect with her on the socials, Instagram, Twitter, same handle, both places at Megatron Runs. That's MAGGATRON. And that's the same thing for Megatron.com. Megatron's runs on Instagram and Twitter. And on Facebook, she's just her name, Maggie Goodroll. And, no athlete page, nothing like that. You can just connect with her and say hi if you're so inclined. And if you want to go back and listen to our first chat, you might be able to, or might have a hard time finding the first one in your podcast app because it's been so long ago that it kind of gets cycled out of most apps. But that was episode 179. But she was a best of in episode 353. And that one should still be available in most podcast apps, at least as the time as this goes out. And who knows, maybe if you're listening to this a little bit farther down the road, that might be hard to find too. But dizruns.com/179 or /353 to get to the first chat that we had, and to the show notes for today's episode. If you need to connect with anything that's there, find some links, etc., dizruns.com/501. So now all of that good house cleaning stuff is out of the way. We can dive into the fun stuff. And Maggie, the same question, I still ask the same question at the beginning as I did back a couple years ago, and I'm going to ask it again. And if the answer hasn't changed much, maybe I'll throw you a little curveball, but it'll at least just give us the place to start. That's just to ask once again, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
I wonder, I probably said 100 miles and it's still 100 miles. Cause it really anything can happen. Mm-hmm. Although I am kind of like looking towards some longer stuff and actually wanting to try to, brush up on some 50 milers. So, but still 100 miles, I think that's what I said last time.
Yep. That's definitely what you said. So, a little bit of a curveball then. What's the a least favorite distance that you race, at least on a semi-regular basis?
I don't know. I've only been doing 100 milers. I feel like I do like shorter little trail races, but, I would say I guess least favorite doesn't mean I hate it, but 5Ks, they really hurt.
Yeah, it's funny how, and I kind of feel the same way. Not that I'm into the 100-mile distance, but I kind of enjoy the marathon distance and maybe mix in a 50K here and there. But yeah, like a 5K, and a lot of people that love those longer distances are like, yeah, the 5Ks, it's just, they hurt so bad. They're so hard. And then you start to do the math on it. You're like, yeah, you're out there for like a tenth of the time. So maybe it shouldn't be as bad. But it's just funny how the different perspectives, depending on what kind of distance you find is your sweet spot.
Yeah, I mean, they all hurt
right.
in their own way. So,
Well, so you mentioned just yeah, I'm not going to let this go. That you're looking at doing some longer things than 100 miles. What I still can't wrap my head around 100 miles. I'm not going to pretend that I can. But what's the allure of trying to go even longer than that for you?
I mean, a lot of people have been doing these 200 milers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm looking to do like a 200 miler race or anything, but these multi-day treks look exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I am kind of intrigued by Barkley still. I feel like we had mentioned that on the last podcast because mm-hmm. I don't remember if I'd just done Barkley Fall Classic or I was about to do it when I talked to you 2 years ago, but I think it's just been in my head for so long that I think I'm gonna focus gears on that. And that's obviously, I mean, let's put in quotes 100 miles, but I mean, that the guys that finish is barely, you know, you have 60 hours and, mm-hmm. and they barely finish in time. So that's what, 2.5 days. I mean, that's best case scenario if anyone gets that far, but and I guess people estimate it's 130 or something now, but that's interesting. And I don't know if I'm ready for like a multi-day 48-hour race, but definitely looking for toying with the idea of going with another 24-hour team qualifier because the team is going to be probably every year that I've been following it, the team just gets better and better. And right now they have like, I think it's like Tracy and Katie and Gina are all like above 150, mm-hmm. you know, qualified for the year for 2019. So it'd be cool to really try to go for that and be on that team again.
Gotcha. As per usual, there's so many things in there that I want to follow up on and I'm going to start with one, obviously, and I'll probably will end up not getting to the others. But what is it about Barkley that is intriguing for you? Is it the challenge? Is it the unknown? Is it a combination of things? Because I know for some people, it's like I feel like Barkley is one of those races or one of those challenges or however you want to exactly classify it, where it's either people are like, oh, hell yes, I want to do it, or absolutely freaking not. Like, there's no way in the world I would ever want to do something like that because it's so vague and I don't know what the heck I'm getting myself into. And like, it's obviously difficult and it's a multi-day thing and all of that stuff. Where is the appeal in that event for you?
I think it's become multifaceted. So, you know, at first it just appealed to me because of the unknown. It seemed so hard, but, and then, I mean, I kind of, it's taken on, it's, the appeal to me has taken on its own life, whereas like when I started ultra running, I kind of first heard of that race before I'd heard of any others. I mean, obviously I'd heard of Western States and, you know, I was too naive to even understand that I had no shot in hell at even finishing this. And, you know, I was like, oh, I could do that. No women's ever done it. I just wouldn't quit. And, you know, it's not that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the more I started getting into ultra running and understanding, then I was like, no, there's no way I'm doing this race. And then, you know, I tried Barkley Fall Classic because I was still curious and I finished that and I was like, no way. And then a day later, I was like, yeah. And but the training is obviously going to be insane. And that kind of appeals to me now. Like, it's just such a different approach. Because I've kind of been talking to a couple people that have been pretty successful there or have, you know, been there a lot and have kind of know what it takes. I think you can understand what it takes even if you haven't finished.
Right.
But, you know, obviously it's great to talk to both so you can learn from people's mistakes and what they did right. But the amount of climbing, I think everyone just focuses on vert. And that's something that's going to be really, really different for me. So I'm kind of excited about that, and just to push all goals aside and focus on only that. I mean, this is only if I get in. So, but I kind of feel like even if I don't get in this year, just keep kind of working towards this every year and until I do get in. And then once I get in, I mean, just keep trying. It's obviously the appeal as well is that no woman's ever finished. And I've, you know, I think it's rumored that there's a bunch of really, really awesome badass women that are going to apply this year. So, I mean, it's got to happen soon.
Right.
and it's true. Like, I mean, you know, what Zach Miller says about UTMB, there's only going to be, you know, one American male to win for the first time, you know, like at UTMB. And that's the same. There's only going to be one woman to ever finish it first.
Right.
You know, it's got to happen. I mean, there's a lot of really capable women, I think. And you're right. Like they said that, you know, they just said no way. Like Tracy Falbo, like, you know, she's not, I don't necessarily think she runs a ton. Well, she doesn't run a ton of trails, but she is really tough. And so I feel like if she put her mind to it, she could do really well, but she's already said, no, that's just not her thing. There's no way. So like, for example, that's like one example of like this, that, you know, there's so many really, really awesome women, but they just know that's not their wheelhouse. So, you know, so we'll see. Hopefully, you know, hopefully a bunch of women can get, you know, onto loop 4 or 5. And then other women will start to see like, okay, this is like possible. I mean, if you look at like a record, once, you know, like for example, I guess you can think of Ann Treason's 100-mile record that stood for 25 years. And then Gina Slaby broke it at Desert Solstice last year. And you're just like, whoa, blown away totally. And then, you know, Camille goes out this year and breaks it by another hour. So I feel like that happens with records a lot. They stand for a long time and they get broken and broken and broken. And like, you know, Sabrina Little's 24-hour record, you know, before that it was what, Connie Gardner had the record. And they stand for a few years. And then just look at like Worlds last year. Actually, it was this year. It was just July. I mean, 3 women went over the American record, you know, right there. But at that point, Courtney had already set the bar to 155. So, I mean, once I feel like it's a little bit of a mental game. Like once you see that barrier can be broken, then it's just broken again and again. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's you're definitely onto something, because you see it all over the place. I mean, you can look back to, you know, the 4-minute mile and once Roger Bannister did it, like, you know, a bunch of people did it because all of a sudden it was possible. It was no longer this thing that couldn't ever happen. And so, yeah, it just opens and gives the everybody else that just little bit of extra boost that somebody has done this before. So, you know, it just takes one person sometimes to open the floodgate. So, yeah, I mean, yeah. Whatever you're looking at, whatever the challenge is, like you said, whether it's the first American to win UTMB, the first woman to finish Barkley, or the first person to run, you know, 4 minutes, you know, under 4 minutes in the mile. Like once one happens, you know, more to follow, but there's something special about being that first one.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I guess the Barkley doesn't apply to any of those record breaking rules because Laz will just make it harder. So, but in general, I guess that's kind of the thought that's been in my mind. But yeah, so I don't know. So I'm just looking forward to the challenge of training through the winter, you know, and getting in a ton of climbing, more climbing than I've ever focused on. And you know, I mean, the race I've done with the most climbing has probably been Run Rabbit, I think. I don't know what that climbing is. It's over 20,000, but so, I mean, take that times 3 and smash it into like, I don't know, 130 miles. That's insane.
Right.
So,
right.
But, yeah, I mean, I have a Nordic Track incline trainer, and, I know that, a lot of people have been successful at Barkley, have done a lot of incline inside on a treadmill. So, I think it'll be helpful. I mean, we have plenty of things on the East Coast that are a little choppy, up and down, straight up
right.
climbs. But this will be really awesome to supplement and get in that extrovert.
Yeah, and it's just one of the many challenges. I was wondering, since we've kind of spent the last 5 minutes or whatever talking about Barkley, for I'm sure that there's probably a couple people, probably more than a couple people, that maybe haven't caught on or heard anything about Barkley before. Can you just real quick a couple of minutes, kind of what is that race, just for those that are going, what the heck are they talking about? Like, it sounds like a hard race, but what the heck is it even?
Yeah. I mean, the most popular thing that's really gotten it more widely known is there's a documentary on I think it's just called Barkley Marathons. It's on Netflix.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you could probably Google it and you'll find it. That's like the main thing. Frozen Ed Fertile wrote a book that's not super well known, but once you get into Barkley, it's a must read, and it's kind of like his experiences I'm trying to remember when it started. Well, it really started as like a three looper 100K sort of thing, and then grew into a 100 miler, and everyone kind of thought that was a joke for a while, until somebody actually was like, okay, I'm going to go on to a fourth lap. And then and it sort of grew into this 100 miler. So basically the entry process is secret. So you can't just go on ultra sign up.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to think of how many books you have to find now. So it's not marked. You're given like a little bit of time to kind of copy your directions onto a map. And I believe you would receive some typed directions or something, but it's very vague. So you spend a lot of time lost,
mm-hmm.
apparently. And so the main thing is you need to find all of the books at all the checkpoints on the course and make it, you have 12 hours per loop, and there's 5 loops, and it's in Tennessee, at Frozen Head State Park, in some really gnarly terrain. Lazarus Lake is the race director, and he got the idea when what's the guy now? I can't remember his name. The guy that shot MLK. I can't remember his name. Anyway, he was he broke out of Brushy Mountain. There's a prison there, nestled in these crazy hills. And I think after 56 hours, he had made it 8 miles, and they found him like dehydrated and bloody and bruised and delirious. And so that's how gnarly the terrain is. And so Laz got the idea to make the 100K, which grew into a 100 miler now. I mean, if you hear people talk about Barkley, they refer to the 3-loop 100K as the fun run. So, which is also a badge of honor, but it's not the full Barkley. So I guess, yeah. And then I actually got to see Where Dreams Go to Die. It's a Ginger Runner film that he was touring with Gary Robbins. So that'll be out. I mean, eventually, he's not sure when he's putting it on YouTube, but it'll be out eventually. And that's a really awesome flick to watch. Gary Robbins' story is really great. He's almost finished twice. It's really heartbreaking. But if you don't know anything about it, and awesome, because it'll be a really suspenseful film. and I knew what happened, and I was still in suspense. So once the Where Dreams Go to Die comes out, check that out for sure, too.
Yeah. It's I'm certainly no Barkley expert, but I enough to know that it's out of my league at this point, but it would be a fun race, I think, to go spectate, to watch, to support at. And it attracts the crazies, which is part of the reason why I guess maybe you're so attracted to pushing yourself to that level.
Maybe. Yeah. I remember. So I got my friend Leon Lutz will be crewing if I get in and all goes well. We'll see. But he's a good writer and a good photographer. And I remember like what solidified me wanting to do the race. I was like, I have to try this. Like, I've been toying with it in my head. But it was like 2 years ago, he snapped a picture of John Kelly when he was completely sleep deprived. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was like, the 1,000-yard stare. And he eventually stumbled off a little bit onto his 5th loop, a little past the gate, and then took a nap. He just like lay in the grass and everyone was like, wow, you know, cause you only have a certain amount of time. So, yeah. And then he eventually finished last year, but I mean, he was super sleep deprived. So, and that picture was just like, oh my God, mm-hmm. I want to try that. I don't know why, but yeah. So it's a really cool picture. It was like, it's pretty gritty.
Right, right. And one other thing, just to kind of, again, put it in a little bit of perspective for those that aren't real familiar with it or haven't done much research. But like you said, we don't know exactly what the distance is, but somewhere in 120, 130 miles, something like that, which like you mentioned, some of the elite women in the 24-hour race and you yourself are in that category. I mean, that's the type of distance that you can not everybody, but some of you women can run in a 24-hour period or just over that maybe. And we're talking about people that can't finish it in 60 hours. So,
yeah,
you know, it's a grueling, challenging, crazy, event, but, it brings out the people that want to push themselves and see what happens. And you know, every once in a while, a couple people finish and it's always exciting when that happens.
Yeah. I guess for the people who aren't familiar, there's no GPS or watches or altimeters or anything allowed. Mm-hmm. So that's why no one really knows
exactly. I mean, you can
figure out from a topography map if you have ever done it, like with elevation. That's what they estimate. So, mm-hmm.
And like you said, half the time you're lost anyway. So if you're right on course, maybe it's quote unquote only 100 miles. But if odds are you're going to be lost at some point or several points, you're going to be adding miles because you don't know where the heck you're going. So there's that element too.
Yeah, and the worst part is, I mean, that because of the terrain. Even if you do know where you're going, you're really pushing the whole time. Right. So you don't have a lot of time to be lost. Yeah. So it's all like everything has to go. They say fog's your worst enemy because, mm-hmm. I mean, even people who know where they're going. And if you've ever been in the fog in the early morning when it's not even that light, I mean, mm-hmm. everything. I mean, the East Coast, like you could drop someone off in the woods anywhere on the East Coast mostly and it all looks the same. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a crazy event, and I want to shift gears just a little bit. I didn't really anticipate talking about Barkley this much, but it's an interesting topic and something that I'm always interested in. But first, just want to take a second and pay a bill and thank Health IQ for continuing to coming back and sponsoring some episodes of the show. Basically, Health IQ, if you're not familiar, guys, it's a company that kind of helps active people, whether it's runners, cyclists, whatever, people that are health conscious, to find better rates on life insurance. So, you know, life insurance isn't one of those fun topics that anybody likes to talk about, but it's one of those things that, you know, if you've got family, you know, and what happens if something happens to you, it's a good thing to have. And because we're runners, because we're health conscious and active and things like that, we can get some savings and, you know, get some better rates on life insurance policies. So if you want to find out more information, get a quote, things like that, head over to healthiq.com/dizruns. And that way they know that you came from listening to the show, and it gives me a little bit of credit and hopefully maybe keeps them around, but definitely gives you an opportunity to get a good rate on a better rate, a rate that you can't find if you just go to any of the life insurance companies, by going to that link. So once again, healthiq.com/dizruns. And thanks to the folks at Health IQ for sponsoring and supporting the podcast. So, Maggie, like I said, I didn't mean to talk quite so much about Barkley, but thanks for humoring me and maybe increasing your desire and appetite to give that race a shot if things fall your way and you get in for next year's event. One of the things that I thought would be interesting, and you even mentioned this too when we were talking a little bit beforehand and kind of going back and forth to set this up, that, you know, 2017 was kind of a rough year for you. Didn't have the greatest year of running, and I think that for a lot of us that are kind of, you know, and the lower level of not quite to the elite status, like I would classify you in, or at least at the higher upper echelon level of runners. You know, I mean, we have these rough patches. We'll have a year or two where things just really don't seem to go well. Everything that could go wrong does go wrong. But I think that I'm kind of guilty of this, and I'm sure that some people that are listening are kind of guilty of this too, where it's like, you know, the people that are doing all these epic runs, like, oh, they don't have a bad period. They don't have a bad patch. Like, and where even if they do, it's like, oh yeah, but you still did, you know, you still did this race and this time and look at, you know, it's, I could never do that and blah, 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 blah. So, I don't know that I have a specific question other than can we talk a little bit about maybe why was 2017 not the greatest year for you when it comes to your racing? And maybe that's something that some of us can kind of relate to and maybe, get a little bit of, I don't want to say relief is the right word, but a little bit of like, oh, it's not just me that has these rough years. Like this happens to, you know, people like me, people that are run farther, run faster than me. And it kind of, all of us go through these patches at some point if we run long enough.
I mean, I broke two records this year. And I ran Western States and I broke the record for the longest 100 miler that I've run to date. And then I ran Run Rabbit Run and I broke that record again. So I was like 27 and a half hours to run Western States. And then it was like 29 and a half hours to run Rabbit Run. So I was like, all right, I need a break. But let's see. So like leading up to Western States, the training wasn't as great. We had like, we had to move twice in what was it, like April, end of April, and then May, middle of May, and or something like that. So within 2 weeks, we moved twice. So like that seriously derails training a bit. It's like a whole long story, but yeah. So, I mean, training wasn't the best, but I was hoping that, you know, just if I went kind of like, you know, I kind of wanted to not run as conservative too and go, you know, just not leave anything out there. I mean, I think I was very calculated and conservative 2 years ago. But, you know, conditions were pretty crazy. It was really, really snowy at first. And I didn't feel like I was wasting a ton of energy. I had a ton of fun on the first like 20 something miles of the course. And then I don't know, all of a sudden I just started feeling so nauseous and I like could no longer eat and I started dry heaving and just like never went away the whole race. And, you know, it was like it was super humid and really hot early on, and all through the race. So I don't know, I just never like recovered. And then just from not eating, by the time I got to like, you know, the river, my legs were so destroyed. They just like, my muscles were so sore. I didn't feel anything like that the year before. And then like same thing with Run Rabbit. I was nauseous from mile one or two climbing up the hill and it just never went away and I couldn't eat. And I was like throwing up, you know. I got to mile 40 and it was already dark. I thought I would have been there in the afternoon. I don't know. I was like, how am I going to finish this? But I didn't want to like quit because I'm really stubborn. And I just don't have a good reason other than I'm like nauseous and that this is going to take me forever because when I run, I feel like I'm going to throw up and I have no energy. But my crew was awesome. Amanda Basham and my friend Dave Wiskowski crewed me, and then another girl, Shiva from Goo, that she helped me out, and they were awesome. And they were just like, take your time, and they fed me a bunch of noodles, and that seemed to work. And I don't know, I chugged my way through, and then realized like I had to worry about cutoffs at a certain point. So I had 20 miles to go, and I had just dragged myself up the last huge climb that's like in the middle of the day the next day. And I'm like, what is the cutoff? Because with Run Rabbit Run, the hares start in the middle at noon, and the what do they call them? Turtle tortoises start early in the morning, and they get 36 hours to finish. The hares get 30 hours to finish. So I'm trying to calculate what is my cutoff because I never even bothered to check. And my one friend Justine told me, you know, you have to whatever 5 or 6 or something. So I was like, oh my god. I have to haul ass. Like, so I somehow like got out of my chair, felt like I was going to fall over. And then I just ran as hard as I could for the last like 20 something miles, and barely finished in time. But, I didn't want to like have it not count after all that. So. And then I was like supposed to run Brazos Bend 100 again, which I've done two years in a row, and I was like, I need a break. So, you know, just kind of like get back to just being motivated to train again. It just, you know, you go from one race to another. I think about the last 2 or 3 years, and I just bounce from one big thing to the next, recover, go to start training for something else, same thing again. and it just started to get old. So I just kind of took a break after Run Rabbit. And in October, I just ran what I felt like. I just went to a trail. Sometimes I ran only 2 miles. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I ran 5 miles. Sometimes I didn't run at all. And I think that's really helped. And who knows, like, I think Brazos might have been a disaster. Maybe it worked out great. I don't know. But I just couldn't fathom, like, trying to switch gears and train for something else and then, you know, do it again. And right. If I wanted to get into Barkley and be serious about it, switch gears and for that, like, I just couldn't. So I think it's important to schedule breaks in an off season.
I agree. And I do think that it's something that can be difficult for a lot of runners. And I'm curious for, you know, some of the men and the women, but the other runners that are kind of at, you know, at those higher levels that are, you know, pushing for places on the podium, that are pushing for wins at races. Do you notice it as being something that's more common? And it sounds like maybe you even, you know, have dealt with it yourself, where it's like you have to always be working towards the next race. It's like, so this race is finished. Now we go on to the next thing and never take a break. Is that something that's pretty common at that level?
I mean, I'm sure it happens, but I think, I think if you're really trying to compete for like a podium spot and, you know, your top performance, then, I mean, breaks are necessary. Mm-hmm. I think people recognize that. Sometimes we forget.
Right.
But I mean, I could have suffered through another 100 miler. I mean, I got through them. Mm-hmm. But I want to do my best, and to do that, I mean, some people can just bounce from race to race to race, but honestly, I'm 37 now. And I think that if I want to keep doing this, I need to definitely focus on an off season and a break. Mm-hmm. And like there's elites that do that recognize that you need to take a break. Like Zach Miller only focuses on a few races a year. Mm-hmm. Like I think, you know, not that I'm comparing myself to him, but you know, it's smart. He wants to have a long career. So I think it's really important just to like listen to your body and take a break. You know, and I was doing 100 milers, maybe like throw in a 50K or a 50 miler and focus on that. But I think I should just plan my couple years out a little better, or not plan them, because like that's what I'm doing this next year is like, okay, my A race will be Barkley. If I get in, we'll see. I'm going to keep it open after that, or, you know, and before that, just because I don't know what's going to happen. And maybe I will feel like doing some other flat 24 hour. Maybe I want to do some short mountain 50 miler or something. So I don't know.
Gotcha.
I think that'll keep me more motivated. And I think I can have the freedom to listen to my body and see how I feel. Mm-hmm. So
if you get in a situation, and I think this is a great topic to spend a couple more minutes on, because it's something that I noticed from some of my clients, people I run with, things like that, that I feel like we're speaking their language. Maybe the distances aren't quite the same, but it's the same type of thing where I planned out all these races and like, gosh, I got to run them now. Like I planned them out. If there's been times in your past where you've done that, where you've planned out a couple of years worth of races, does that almost kind of, you know, Even if there's a little bit of breaks in there and you're allowed to recover and start preparing for the next one, does that kind of take some of the fun out of it? Because it almost becomes like there is no spontaneity. It's just like, all right, this race is done. Now we recover. Now we train for the next race, rinse and repeat, as opposed to now, like you said, where it's kind of like, I can do whatever the heck I want. And that kind of adds maybe some more fun to the training and to the suffering and things like that.
Yeah, that's exactly the idea. You know, I mean, some of these races you have to sign up a year in advance too, mm-hmm. which kind of sucks, but for the most part, you know, like things will pop up and I'm like, what a cool opportunity or how fun. And I'm like, how the hell am I going right. to, you know, kind of work that into my schedule. So yeah, it would be nice to kind of keep that spontaneity. Like I feel like doing a really hard, crazy, you know, 60K or something random. And now I can hopefully see what happens and kind of see what where the year takes me. Plus you never know, like, we didn't know we were going to have to move twice right. in like April. I mean, we didn't even know we were going to have to move that year at all. until our landlord told us like 2 months before. And then there's a whole thing. We had to move again. So like, you never know. I mean, I could wake up tomorrow and, you know, not have a job or, right. you know, have a place to live. Like, you never know what's going to happen next week. So, it's helpful to keep it kind of open, but again, you do have to have some kind of level of planning. Like, I entered for the first time since, oh, I also wanted to finish Run Rabbit Run so I could get my first hard rock qualifier. Cause I'm, I mean, I don't understand that lottery and don't understand my chances. And I'd love to do that race one day. And if I get in on one ticket, I will absolutely run it. But, you know, so that would be in July. But the chances are pretty slim. So, you know, I'm just keeping it open. Cause like, if I do get in, I'm going to take the opportunity. Cause you know, if you can just suffer through that once and then be a one-time finisher, your ticket's getting a much smaller pool of people. So,
right.
But that race looks awesome.
You know, leave it to you and to a lot of crazy, what I think is of as crazy, ultra distance runners where it's like, oh, the harder it is, like the more alluring it becomes, which, maybe that's why I'm still sticking to the road marathons and the occasional 50K on the trails. Cause those are hard enough for me. I don't want to go too big just yet. Maybe one day, but not quite yet.
Yeah. I mean, 50Ks and road marathons are really hard. It's just different. I mean, if I did Hard Rock, my goal would be finish. Mm-hmm. It's so much hiking. Like, I mean, especially coming from sea level, there's really no way for me to like 100% train for that where, I mean, unless I take, you know, 3 months off to go live in the mountains, but like, it's just crazy that you go above 1400 feet, 14,000 feet, sorry.
Right,
in a race.
Right.
Like, I mean, your head's just so swimmy after 11 something. So like, it just, yeah. But I mean, a road marathon also sounds like it'd be really cool to go for, which, you know, who knows, maybe next fall, mm-hmm. maybe I'll try something like that. Which could line up with like 24-hour training. So,
right. Well, and I mean, you know, like we've kind of said a couple times, like that's the beauty of keeping the schedule kind of, you know, much less congested, kind of free. If, you know, if your name gets pulled, then you run that race. If it doesn't, then you find something else and you can kind of pick whatever kind of sounds good at the time and go for it and have fun. And that's, I mean, I think for everybody, no matter what level of the sport you're at, I think if you're not having fun, it's time to reassess what you're doing and why you're doing it. Because, I mean, we might as well have fun while we're out there, no matter what our goals happen to be.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I realized. I was like, this isn't my job. Mm-hmm. Like I have a job that I get paid for and I love that job and I love running and I want running to be a fun thing, you know? So yeah, exactly. I mean, I've seen a lot of people, elite and non-elite people, say that they're struggling with motivation. They just don't love running anymore. And I can totally relate because I kind of felt like that, you know, over the summer, just after Western States was so disappointing. And then I was excited to run Rabbit because it looks like an awesome race. It was great. It's like well run, it's beautiful. But it was such a struggle to keep training and love it. And, you know, I feel like it's fine to take a week off and literally not run,
right?
Maybe hike or do something or see friends that you never see or, you know, sometimes you just have to take a step back. So,
and you know, and let's be honest, taking a week off after a race, after a big hard training cycle, like that's hardly it. Fitness wise, I think maybe that's where some people get caught up, is that, oh, if I don't run for a week, like what's it going to do to my fitness? Like, it's not gonna do anything. Like, you're gonna be just fine when you come back, whether it's a week, 2 weeks, whatever. Like, clear your head, get away from things a little bit, just sleep in, you know, whatever, and enjoy life for a week, and then you come back and you're gonna be just fine when it comes back to training again.
Yeah And like, you know, you'll feel it when you're ready to start again. I was like, I wasn't ready to start training for anything after a week of taking off after Run Rabbit. But like, some people already dive right into it, you know?
Right.
And so you got to go with it, I guess. Try something new. Like if something, you know, you got to be excited for the end goal too, I think. I love training so much too. So like, that's what was disappointing to me. It's like, it's not all about racing. If you told me like, I just I couldn't race anymore, then I wouldn't be that disappointed, but I would still kind of like make little goals for myself and probably work towards those. I think the training part is what I love the most, really.
It's one of those things that I think is another beautiful asset of or aspect of our sport is that there are so many different facets that you can love. I mean, you got your people that if it was all up to them, like they don't necessarily care about their times that much, but they want to race every weekend, get the medals, and just have the atmosphere, the other people around, the excitement of the races. Then you got the people on the other end of the spectrum. They're like, man, I really don't care if I ever run a race. Like, I just, I need my alone time, the time to clear my head, whatever, go out and run. And then there's all avenues in the middle. So I don't know that I'm surprised to hear you say that, but I don't know that I was expecting to hear you say that the training is almost even better than the races most of the time.
Yeah. And I'm excited because, like I told my coach, obviously she knows about my Barkley goal and I'm going to start kind of working on that now, whether I'm in or not. Mm-hmm. Because it's a big deal. But she texted me last night to tell me, you're going to hate me when you see this plan. And I was like, yes, bring it on. I can't wait. And maybe I will hate her, but like, I'm excited to see what it is. And I think she's excited to work on something totally different with me. And I've told her all that I've found out from talking to people and what they did in training. And she's taking that into account. And it's just super helpful to have the Nordic Track Incline trainer. Mm-hmm. And I found this, what I call the Barkley Hill near my house. It's this little network of trails, but there's this cliff. There's like two rocks and then like two rock faces. And then on the one side, it's like dirt and you can actually pull yourself up to it on limbs and rocks, but it's straight up. It's really fun. It's like 123 feet in 0.05 miles or something. I don't know. So I don't know if that's accurate, but
so it's the Barkley Junior though. Like it's still it gives you a nice taste.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not anything quite like what you'll see.
It would be like a nice for repeats because your heart rate gets up there you get up the top. But like I got to see John Kelly's Barkley training hill, and this hill puts it to shame.
As great as the incline trainer might be, like having an actual hill where it's gnarly and there's you scrambling and things like that, like that's definitely the kind of thing that's going to help prepare even more for the actual challenge, as much as it might be difficult, it's going to be beneficial when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I think. And, it's nice to mix it up.
Yeah.
That technical, there's briars at the bottom too, which is great.
If that's your definition of great, I guess.
Yeah. Just like the Barkley course.
Oh, goodness. So, Maggie, as we're getting kind of close to wrapping up today, I think this might be something that we didn't do a couple of years ago. I can't remember exactly when I started doing this, but I think it's more recent than that. But the ending, I ask what I call a philosophical question, which can sometimes sound a little scarier than it is, but it's just kind of very similar to the opening question, something that is a short, simple question that gives us the opportunity to have. Could be a short answer, could be a long answer, could be something in the middle, but it's just kind of a nice way to, at least I think, a fun way to kind of put the bow on things. So I would be curious, in your years as running, as a runner, different events you've done. I mean, we didn't talk about it today. We talked about it last time because it had been something that you'd done, I think it was earlier in 2015, but the 24-hour team representing Team USA, and something that we kind of mentioned that you might be looking at again in the future. But, you've done a lot in the sport, pushed yourself, done a bunch of challenges, always looking for the next and newest thing. And I'd be curious to just kind of know how running, how the things that you've accomplished in the sport have shaped you and have changed you outside of the sport. How whether it's in work life, whether it's in personal life, whatever the case might be, how has your training and your success in the sport of running paid off outside of the road or the trail or the random map for Barkley or whatever the case might be? How has running shaped you and made you a little bit different, maybe better person outside of the sport as well?
I think my outside life has made me, I struggle with moderation in everything I do. And I think, just my outside life and learning how to balance that with training and having a relationship and, a job and a job that I love that I'm so lucky that relates to running. Mm-hmm. I'm the athlete team manager for Nathan, and I guess my title technically is marketing specialist. So those kind of interlock, but I just having a life work and running type balance is really important. And I mean, the rest of life taught me that there's more to life than running. Mm-hmm. And it's like spending time with friends and family and your boyfriend, and not everything has to be this serious, stressful race or serious, stressful training block, all the time, 100%. So, I mean, I guess, I think there's a theme of our whole podcast is, mm-hmm. is like, there's more to life than running, but, it's so much more enjoyable. Running is so much more enjoyable when there is more to life. Like, I think that's like, you know, the one thing I learned this year, basically.
Gotcha. Gotcha. That's, as per usual, when I ask these questions, I try not to muddy the waters too much, because your answer is just about perfect. So there's no sense in me trying to add anything to it. So I am not even going to try. again, guys, the website, if you want to check it out, Megatron.com, on the Instagram, on the Twitter at Megatron Runs, Facebook, just look for the name at Maggie Guterl, and DizRuns.com/501. We'll have everything linked up and some links to some Barkley stuff if you want to find out more about that. And so a few other things that we talked about today, all the links will be there, DizRuns.com/501. So Maggie, thank you again for taking the time today, for humoring me to come back after a couple of years and catch up a little bit and shoot the breeze. It was certainly a pleasure, and I can't wait to hear what the next year or two looks like, and maybe, you know, somewhere down the line, we'll do this again at some point. But for now, again, thanks for the time today. Nothing but the best going forward. Good luck getting into Barkley, and once you do, good luck in being that first woman. That'll be certainly be paying attention and following along, and can't wait to see how it all goes for you.
Hey, thanks, Danny.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope that you enjoyed the conversation between Maggie and myself. And as always, I'd be curious to know what stood out to you from this episode. What was your takeaway from the conversation that we had today? For me, it really kind of came down to the idea of Maggie talking about potentially being a little bit burnt out, of potentially running a few too many races in too short of a period of time. And it's something, like I said when we were chatting, that I think that a lot of us mere mortals in the sport can easily be guilty of. But it's not always something that I think about at the higher levels. Yet clearly it can happen. It clearly can happen. And sometimes it's nice to just take a little break, to just step back, keep the calendar clear. And if something pops up, something that you want to do, go for it. There's nothing wrong with that. But it doesn't mean that you always have to have something scheduled, that you always have to be working towards something. Every once in a while, it's a good thing to just run for fun, to just run as the spirit moves you. Figure out what your friends are doing and join them. Do something with them instead of feeling like you have to stick to some structured plan. Sometimes just taking that pressure off yourself and just allowing you to have a little bit of freedom to have fun, to enjoy our sport, can do more for you, even more for your progress than just continuing to be a slave to your training schedule, to be a slave to preparing for the next race. So just something to think about here as 2017 starts to wind down, at least as this episode comes out. You may be listening to this in 2018 already, and that's fine. But just something to think about at any point, but especially towards the end of the year, starting to maybe plan for what the new year might have in store. Maybe just give yourself a big chunk, 5 months, 6 months, 8 months, where you don't have any races planned very far in advance. You know, maybe enter a lottery too, and if you get picked, great. And if not, no big deal. Find something fun. But just take some of that pressure, some of that structure off of your plate, and see if that doesn't make running a little bit more fun again, especially if it's starting to get stale. Something definitely to think about, and definitely was my takeaway. I'd be curious to know, what was the takeaway for you today? What stood out to you? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. Or better yet, head over to the show notes for this episode, which you can find at DizRuns.com/501. Goodness, 501. And you can leave a comment there as well. So that is it for today. Thanks once again to Health IQ for sponsoring the episode. Again, healthiq.com/dizruns. Get yourself a quote on life insurance. And again, not something that's fun to talk about, but something that's important to have. So check it out and get yourself a little bit of a discount. Save a few bucks for being a healthy, health-conscious person. Everybody wins except for maybe maybe, you know, the fact that you'd have to die to cash in. So maybe that's not a win, but you know what I'm trying to say. HealthIQ.com. Thanks again for them for sponsoring today's episode of the show. And with that, let's officially put a bow on this thing. Call it a day. Thank you guys for listening. Hope that you enjoyed this one. Feedback is always appreciated, as is continuing to spread the word. Tell a friend, somebody that you know is looking for a good podcast to listen to. Tell them to listen to Diz Runs Radio, and I would be much appreciative. So without any further ado, without any further rambling on my part, which is always a difficult thing to wrap me in or rope me in when I start going. But thanks for listening, guys. Hope you have a great rest of the day, and look forward to talking to you again soon. Take care, guys.